Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 14, reading verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Heavenly Father, help us today as we read your word. Lord, I ask for the people that you would minister to them. I've prayed this prayer practically every time that I've aired on this station. And I ask once again, I am not here for me, Lord. You know that. I am not here for Joey Kelly Ministries or any such thing. I'm not here for my church. I'm not here for my denomination. I'm here for the people listening, that they would see Jesus, that they would be helped in their spiritual walk, that as they come upon issues and problems in their life, that they would be somehow encouraged by something that I've said, and that you would strengthen them, that you would meet their needs. So Lord, speak to them today, and we ask in the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. Now as you're listening to me, today I am in Haiti. In a few minutes or hours or something, I'll be preaching in some church or another in some village somewhere is in Haiti. And I'm very thankful that the Lord has called me to do this work. I'm not worthy, absolutely unworthy. I don't know why God called me of all people. You don't know me. I know me. I know that I'm the last guy that should have been called. I'm selfish. I'm rude. I'm proud. I have so many other things that I could list that in my mind would disqualify me. But he had grace and mercy. He picked me up out of the miry clay, as David, one of the Old Testament saints, said. He changed me. He delivered me from drugs. He delivered me from a lot of things. He changed my life. And I'm so thankful for what God has done in me. I'm glad that my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm glad that I'm saved. I know that if I got killed or died of some disease or something in Haiti or anywhere, I know that I would wake up in heaven. I know that I'm saved. Thank God. But he didn't stop there. He called me into the ministry. And I don't know why. I really, really don't know why. But I'm very thankful that he did. And I'm asking that you pray with me for the churches that I'll be ministering in. Pray for the people that they would do exactly as I prayed for you just a bit ago, that they would be helped, that they would be strengthened. And there's a lot of opportunities to win souls. I remember some years ago I was with Pastor Gabriel. We were in Montagnac. Actually, we were on the other side of the mountain in La Gombrie. And when he holds his conventions every 6 months or something, they take care of all the church business. And this is way out in the woods. This is way up on the mountain. You can't get there from here, that kind of stuff. But they take care of all the official business. And when he holds the conventions, that's the week that if somebody needs to be married or something or baptized or whatever, then they do those things. There were two weddings in this particular time that I was there. It may have been in the year 2000. I forget exactly when it was. But there were two weddings that took place, one day and one a couple of days later, I think. And the pastor asked me to preach both times. And I stood before the people and said, "Lord, what do you want me to say to these people? I don't know what to tell them." And he told me to cast the net. To cast the net. To preach in such a way as to gather in a harvest of souls. And I'm very thankful to say, and very happy to report that in each of those services, and these were weddings, there's nothing else to do in these towns, and so if anything happens, everybody comes. Obviously, there were Christians there, but there were a lot of people that made no profession of faith. And in both times, there must have been a couple of hundred people that were in the weddings, in the services. But he said, "Cast the net," and I did so. And I preached on something or other, I don't remember, but I gave an invitation each time. And you would think at a wedding, sometimes I've seen weddings here in the States where they would give some kind of an invitation. But I didn't make any bones about it. I gave an altar call. I asked for people that if they heard the Word of God and the Lord had spoken to them, they wanted to be Christians. And I didn't ask them to come forward, but I said, "Raise your hand." And then we prayed. In each of these weddings, at least 50 people raised their hand and said, "I want to become a Christian." Thank God. I'm so happy. So thankful that the Lord would use me to win souls, even at a wedding. But this Sunday, as you listen, next Sunday, as you listen again, hopefully, that's where I'll be. I'll be on the mission field. Please pray for me. Please pray for the people that I have a chance to minister to. Pray that I'll be able to meet with the different pastors. And I've brought these names before you before. In short, ask God to help me to continue the work that He has called me to do. And I hate asking for money. And when I started this, I said I never would. But I felt impressed a month or so ago, to do exactly that for the purpose of missions. If you like what you've heard on this program, thank you for listening. I want to say that first. I'm hopeful that the Lord has somehow used me in some small way to bless you, to help you to follow the Lord. But you've heard me. You've heard my doctrine. You know what I preach. You know what I believe. And you may not agree with everything that I say, but you know where I'm coming from. And you know that I stand for the Word of God and sound doctrine. If you like what you've heard, and it's blessed you, please consider sending me some sort of missions offering. It'll go to exactly what I'm talking about, to fund future trips to the mission field. And I thank you very much. In case that you do decide to give some sort of an offering. But let's go ahead and get into the Word. Like we said last week, and actually the week before, this chapter 14, Jesus begins talking about the second coming of Christ. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions," but he gets into a discussion with Thomas. He says in verse 4, "And whither I go, you know, and the way ye know." And Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And we said last time that Jesus was referring to the cross. And I'd like to pick it up essentially there. But the only way to go to heaven is by the cross, trusting in what Jesus did on the cross. His blood was put upon your account, and your sins can be washed away based on the fact that he, an innocent man, hung and died and paid the penalty for sin for you. But we also said that there is a forsaking of self that we must do, that we must follow Jesus and walk as he walked. No, we won't be nailed to a cross, but our desires, our ideas, perhaps our political leanings, our philosophy, our outlook on life, our choice of who to marry, our choice of what job to take, the Lord, if we are His, has a right to tell us what to do. Well, God ain't going to tell me what to do. That preacher ain't going to say nothing to me. I'm going to do what I want. Well, maybe so. But the Lord died for us. Jesus died for us. And He bought us back. He redeemed us. And we're not our own. I'm thinking about the Old Testament in Leviticus or something. It talks about the bond slave. Paul called himself a bond slave. In the law of Moses, or one of the laws or what have you, it says that a slave, not somebody that could never go free, but he could purchase his salvation, or he could wait for the year of Jubilee, and he could go free. And we're talking about Jewish people that would essentially be in debtor's prison or something like that. So they would try and work off their debts. But the slave could go to his master and say, you know, I don't want to go free. I like it here. Why would a slave say, hey, I like it here? Well, if the master was kind, if the master was fair, if the master was just and righteous, if the master had been like the Lord and the way that the Lord treats us, if he had been like that to his slave, the slave could go and say, Master, I don't want to go free. I want to stay here forever. And again, that's a foolish thing to say. We think, anyhow. But the law of God is correct. The law of God is right. It's perfect. It's inspired by God. And the law made provision for the slave to say to his master, I don't want to go free. I want to stay here. And he would become a bond servant at that point. And the Word of God says that the master would take him over to the shed or something, or to a tree, and he would take his ear and press it to the wood. And he would take an awl and run it through his earlobe. And that marked him as a slave forever. Paul says he was a bond servant, a love slave. He didn't want to go free. For someone to make a decision like that is a very precious thing, I believe. And God does call those that He loves, those that will hear His voice, those that will find the goodness of God, and He will move them to say, Lord, not really, not physically, but spiritually speaking in their heart, to say, Lord, here's my ear. Here's my ear. I love you, Master. I'll do what you say. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll give up my desires. I'll give up all claim that I have to my life. I want to do what Jesus wants me to do. I guess you could say that the idea of a eunuch that Jesus talked about, and we know what a eunuch is. He said that some made themselves to be a eunuch for the kingdom of God's sake. To say, I won't worry about getting married. I won't worry about maybe having a girlfriend. I'm going to dedicate my life to trying to serve the Lord. And whether it's for their whole life or some portion of their life, they'll say, well, look, I'm not going to worry about all of that domestic stuff. I'm going to try and be about the Father's business. And as I said last time, in this 14th chapter of John, Jesus makes reference to that, the way of the cross. Again, He won't call very many people to be martyrs. Some few, but not very many, not very often. But He does call us, as Paul said, it's our reasonable service. He does call us to give up our desires. He does call us to obey when the Spirit speaks to us. But in verse 6, he said, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. no man cometh to the Father but by me. And that verse has been used many times by many evangelists when they're making their appeal to the sinner. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And there's a number of ways that you could preach that, I suppose. You can say that He is the way, and certainly the gospel is the only message of salvation. Certainly the Bible is the only inspired book on planet Earth. I hate the term religion, but the only true religion is Christianity. Islam is not true. American Indian religion is not true. Pick your religion, Shinto, it doesn't matter. All of these things are false. The only truth is to be found in the Word of God. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you want to be saved, you have to come to Christ. There's no other name given among men under heaven except the name Jesus Christ. And you must be born again. He said that in John chapter 3. You must be born again. But these three chapters, chapter 14, chapter 15, and chapter 16, Jesus is telling His disciples about the Holy Spirit. And we have said that these chapters speak of the Trinity. And this next verse here makes reference exactly to that. We believe in the Father, we believe in the Son, and we believe in the Holy Spirit. But verse 7 here says, if ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And I'll stop halfway in verse 10. Jesus is saying, and again, referencing the Trinity. We said that the Trinity, there are three persons in the Trinity, but there's only one God. And each person in the Trinity has his job, if we can say that. The Father is the judge. The Father gave the law, what have you. The Father is the one that ultimately we answer to. And we say that God is angry at sin. But sin, Jesus came down here to deal with. God sent His Son to die for our sins. And we said that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in our hearts and testify of Christ. And we say that Jesus lives in our heart, but we know that Jesus is in heaven, but it's the Spirit of God that comes and makes His abode in our heart. As we continue to study this chapter and chapter 15, and especially chapter 16, you'll understand a little bit more about what He's saying. But the idea here is that Jesus came to do the Father's will. At one point He says, I do whatever the Father says, and I don't do it if the Father doesn't say it. But in chapter 16 it says that the Spirit shows us what Jesus Christ says. So you have the Son obeying the Father, then you have the Son speaking, and it's relayed to us by the Spirit. Let's turn there briefly. In chapter 16, verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. and he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. But I said that the Spirit, the Son, and the Father, they are three persons, but they all agree. And again, we said that God's purpose in speaking to us, and what the Bible is all about, is the redemption of man. And these three work together. They're in perfect unity. There's never any argument between, let's say, the Father and the Spirit as to what they should do. They're in perfect agreement. And he says, speaking to Thomas and Philip here in verse 9, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. If you look at Christ, you see the Father. Now that's an interesting thing. Jesus said, Not my will, but thine. Lord, I'll do whatever you want, he said to the Father. How do you understand God? How do you make sense of God? We look in the Old Testament and many would see an angry God, one that wants to punish man. And there is that image. But also, we see that God the Father loves man and is patient with man. And look how he cared for the Jews, the people that he chose. But the question remains, how do you see God? How do you approach God? How do you make sense of God? If you look at Christ, Christ is doing what the Father said to do. So as we read through the Gospels, we see him in John chapter 8, for instance, speaking to the woman caught in adultery, Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. That's kindness, that's compassion, that's mercy. He overlooks the woman's sin. How do you make sense of the Father? I think it stands to reason. You look at John chapter 3, verse 16. The whole point of Christ is that for God so loved the world. He said, if you look at me, Thomas and Philip, you've seen the Father. And look, the Father's been with you the whole time. Because I and my Father are one, at one point he said. And again, the Spirit, which is what we're studying. Many churches, many Christians, many preachers and denominations, what have you, are afraid of the Spirit. But the Spirit's job, as the Word of God says, is to show us Christ. Whatever Jesus would have us to do, if he were here on the earth, and the disciples, they walk with him for 3.5 years. If he was here today, like he was there with them 2,000 years ago, if Christ said to do something, then certainly the disciples did it. If Jesus was here with us today, he said do something, we would do it. But we just read in chapter 16 here of the book of John that the Spirit would do one thing, and that's to speak what Jesus is saying. You read in the book of Revelation and other places, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly to the churches. That's because Jesus is trying to speak to his church. Jesus is trying to lead his disciples. You can be led by the Spirit. And again, the Spirit will do one thing, and that is to show you Jesus Christ, to tell you what Jesus Christ would do. There's no need to fear the Spirit, except if being around Christ, if he was here in the flesh, would make you uncomfortable with your sin and perhaps your bad habits. But God loves you. And again, he loves you so much, he sent his son Jesus to die for you. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.